بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه، وأصلي وأسلم على سيدنا محمد عبد الله ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. We continue إن شاء الله a brief discussion on الخشوع في الصلاة. The reverence and awe and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in as-salah. And we said that we will go through salah step by step. We'll not talk about every aspect of the salah. We'll talk about some aspects of as-salah, inshallah, that we can use to help us to have this khushu'. Maybe, for example, some of us, when we heard adhan today, it was the first time in our life we heard adhan in that way. After we heard the narration of Abdul ibn Abbas, how he heard adhan and how he looked at adhan. Also as-salah. We begin with al-wudu. الخشوع في الوضوء. We should have this reverence for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the wudu. Because the wudu is the preparation for this meeting of salah. When you go to an important business meeting, how do you dress up? What do? You take a shower, you put on nice perfume, you iron your clothes. The same now you have a meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we prepare ourselves for this meeting. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا قمتم إلى الصلاة فاغسلوا وجوهكم وأيديكم إلى المرافق وامسحوا برؤوسكم وأرجلكم إلى الكعبين. We make this wudu, and wudu came from the word which means a bright light, a shining light, because we know that the places that we make wudu, inshallah, on the day of judgment will be glowing, bright. And that's how the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام will recognize later parts of his ummah, by the streaks of light of wudu. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that there is not a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who makes wudu and makes this excellence in wudu, which we talked about. We can take a point here also from tarbiyah. فأحسن الوضوء. Rasulullah said, the one who makes wudu and makes ihsan in wudu, makes excellence in the wudu. In da'wah, for example, maybe we make a flyer and we say, okay, the flyer is okay. No, he make the flyer excellent. When we want to prepare a speech, I don't want to prepare today. No, akhi, inna Allah kataba al-ihsan ala kulli shay. Wa qul li'ibadi yaqulu lati hiya ahsan. So in the wudu, make it good, make it excellent. Also in other acts of our life, we should try our best to achieve excellence. Make an effort towards excellence, not settle for second best. So the Prophet said, whoever makes wudu from the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and makes this wudu in an excellent way, and the water reaches their fingertips and so on and so forth. He said, alayhi salatu salam, that after they make this wudu, then they pray. And he didn't just say they pray. They pray and they do what in their prayer? They make their prayer excellent. Means with khushu', with the arkan of salah, the shurut of salah, the wajibat of salah, the sunan of the salah, with the khushu', he said alayhi salatu salam, that when they do this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them their sins which happened before this. So al-wudu. That's why Umar ibn Abdulaziz, his wife, used to say about him, I never saw somebody who was so focused on the wudu, so concerned about their wudu. Some of the ulama, when they used to make wudu, they used to turn blue. They would lose their color. Ali ibn Humran, when he would make wudu, he would turn red. And somebody asked him, what is it that happens to you when you make wudu? Why do you become red in your face? He said, do you know who I'm about to stand in front of? Ah, subhanAllah, look at his answer. You know who I'm about to stand in front of? I'm about to stand in front of Allah. So consequently, the khushu' comes out in his face. Number three, the qiyam. When you stand for the salah. When you come to the masjid, 3 or 4 minutes before salah, don't sit with your boys and start talking about the TV, the football game, the basketball game, or something like that. Or your sisters about whatever you're into. Sit and think about who you're getting ready to stand in front of. If you pray at home and you're a sister or a brother, 3 or 4 minutes before salah, go and sit and think, I'm about to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and inculcate the magnificence of Allah, who is Allah, and then stand and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hussein ibn Ali radiallahu anhu, when he used to stand for salah, they said that his color would change. And they used to ask him, why your color is changing? He said, I want to stand in the presence of Al-Malik Al-Jabbar, the king, the mighty one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, when I come to the door of the masjid, when he used to come to the door of the masjid, he used to raise his head and he would say, oh my Lord, I am your servant and you are good and I'm coming with evil. So take my evil and replace it with this good. Ilahi, ana abduk. Oh my ilah, I am your slave. I'm coming with this evil and you are al-Quddus. So please accept me and replace my evil with khairat. The takbir. And I saw, subhanAllah, a lot of our brothers and sisters, they made a mistake in salah, which you have to pay attention to. That is, for example, when the imam is in sujood, they will come to the line and they will go like this. I'm going to stand and show you. They will go like this. Mathan, the imam is in sujood, they will walk and go like this. Allahu Akbar. The ulama said, your salah is not correct. Because you have to start salah with what? A takbir. So you have to go like this. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Then go to sujood or ruku. But don't come to the salah, Allahu Akbar. Like you're sliding into a second. Make the takbir, the first takbir, which is from the arkan of salah, then the second takbir to move to where the imam is. Why do we have this mistake? Because as Sheikh Sayyid Hawa, he said, this is alam and ma'alamat amrad al-qulub. This is a sign from the sick hearts to istajil, always rushing. The takbir, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. They said, and I saw in English, it's translated incorrectly, Allah is great. Allah is the greatest. And still, Allah is the greatest. It didn't give you af'al tafdeel. Allahu Akbar. What does Allahu Akbar mean? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater than anything in His attributes, in His actions, in His essence, and everything related to Him. Huwa fawqa kulli shay. Huwa samar al-ahad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. Wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan. Huwa Allah azza wa jal. وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِي وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. الله أكبر. And Ibn Qudama in his رسالة في خشوع الصلاة, he said, when you say Allahu Akbar, it means that you forget about everything siwa Allah. If you want to know if your takbir is خاشع لله, he said, when you say Allahu Akbar, it means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only thing in your heart because He's the greatest. He said, if you say Allahu Akbar and something else is in your heart besides Allah that causes you to think about that thing, then know that that thing is greater to you than Allah. And that's terrifying. Allahu Akbar, oh my wife. Akhi fi Allah. Allahu Akbar, my husband. Allahu Akbar, my kids. Allahu Akbar, my debt. Allahu Akbar, my 401k. Allahu Akbar, this. Allahu Akbar, this. Allahu Akbar. Ibn Qudama rahimahullah ta'ala said, if you say Allahu Akbar and something is in your heart besides Allah, he said you're a liar. Because to say something and not affirm it in your heart is a lie. And the takbir also helps us in khushu'. Because in salah, it's not easy to stay in khushu'. As we said earlier, come and go, come and go. Come and go. Then you can understand the wisdom between every movement except one, Allahu Akbar. To remind you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Akbar, ufawidu amri ila Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Akbar. That means everything, siwa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything except Allah is left or has left my heart. And that's why we said yesterday that Shaykh who prayed 60 years without sajd sahwa in Syria, Shaykh Ahmed Rashid, he mentions it. 60 years, he was imam, and he never made the sujood of forgetfulness. And the people ask him, he said, when I come to the door of the masjid, I leave the dunya in the door of the masjid. So the takbir. Number two, al-istiftah. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika wa tabaraka smuk wa ta'ala jaduk wa la ilaha ghayruk. Al-istiftah, Sheikh Ali Jum'a, he explained al-istiftah. He said al-istiftah, means the open, to open. But it says subhanallah. When you open your relationship with Allah, al-istiftah, you begin the salah. هذا معنى ظاهر. He said, but also there's another meaning, al-batin. He said, subhanallah, in the history of the Muslims, whenever the Muslims used to open up a country or a city, they called it what? Al-fath, the opening. He said, the victory. Al-fath means victory. The day when the Prophet ﷺ came to Mecca is called Yawm al-fath, the day of victory. So when the abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fights his or her nafs, and fights shaitan, and fights the waswas of shaitan, makes wudu, stands bayni day rabbihi subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they say, Allahu Akbar, and they got the fath on their nafs, and the fath on shaitan, and the fath on aduullah. They got victory over their self, victory over shaitan, victory over their soul, victory over the waswas of shaitan. That's why he said, Wallahu alam, is called al-istiftah. The next is maybe the most important thing. Unfortunately, because of perceptions, sometimes we pray in the worst way. For example, if you were asked to speak in front of a great person, how will you speak? And they ask you, for example, to introduce yourself. Will you say, my name is Suhaib Weba, I work in this, I'm 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 this. Somebody stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdu rabbil alameen, rahman rahim, alaka midin, yaka nabur, waika nasta'in, adam, fasakim, salatum, nadam, gharam, adum, alayim, adalim, ameen. Who are you standing in front of, akhi? Who are you talking to? And this is where it's important to understand. As-salah hiwar bayna abd wa rabbi. As-salah is a conversation between you and Allah. And if we don't understand that, then that's why our approach to salah is, I can't wait to throw this off my back, man. I got stuff to do today. A'udhu billahi, akhi. I need to vacuum the house. I can make qasr. Can make qaza. And the conversation between your Lord and you is executed through the recitation of Al-Fatiha. Al-Fatiha is a conversation between you and Allah. And if you want to know the greatness of As-Salah, look at all of the other ordained actions in Islam. Zakah, Siyam, Ziwaj, all of them came through the medium of Jibreel, the Quran. For example, when you get a package, if it comes as a normal package, okay, nice, I got a letter today, mashallah. But if it comes second class mail, mashallah. If it comes first class, subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa mashallah. If it comes hand delivered and you have to sign for it, Allahu Akbar. How the salah was sent to us. The salah was given to us by Allah directly to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, without Jibreel, on the night of Isra wal Mi'raj. So that tells you a salah is a lofty thing. And when we enter into salah, we should feel the sacredness to it. Not just I'm going to pray. MashaAllah, I'm going to do This package was sent to me direct. I signed for it when I said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. And I'm going to salli. But Al-Fatiha. And I love always when I talk to go back to Fatiha. Because Al-Fatiha is Islam in its entirety. And the beautiful book of Sheikh Al-Harawi that Ibn Al-Qayyim, he summarized and he made the Tahdhib, Madar Al-Salikin. It's a beautiful book about Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. Al-Fatiha is a conversation between you and Allah. That's why Salama radiallahu anha, she said that the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, when he used to read the Quran as our imam today did, Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, ar-Rahmanir Rahim. He used to pause. And the Prophet alayhi salatu salam said something about this surah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, qasamtu salata bayni wa bayna abdi nisfain. I have divided al-salah between me and my servant in two parts. Al-salah here means al-fatiha. Imam al-Qurtubi said, Al-Fatiha has around 15 or 12 names. One of the names of Al-Fatiha, As-Salah. Because Allah Azza wa Jal, he called it As-Salah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when my servant says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, when you stand in Salah and you say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds and says, my servant has praised me. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, my servant has glorified me. Maliki Yawmiddin, Majadani Ya Abdi, my servant has exalted me. Maliki Yawmiddin, Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'een, Hatha Bayni wa Bayna Abdi. This is between me and my slave, because ibadah is only between you and Allah. Then, ihdina surat al-mustaqim, surat al-lazina namta alayhim, ghayr al-maghdubi alayhim, waradhalin. He says, this, Allah answers you and says, this is for my servant, and my servant will get what they ask for. Conversation with Allah. So when you talk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how will you talk with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala? Al-ruku'. The ulama said, number one, al-ruku' is arkan min as-salah. If anybody doesn't make ruku', his salah is batila. No salah. But they said, what is al-ruku' to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Al-ruku' is to bow to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Warka'u is mentioned in Surah Al-Hajj. It's an obligation because Allah said, warka'u, you must make ruku' to me. But the ulama said, when somebody bows to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they put their face in the place of sujood, they humble themselves in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Would it be possible for anyone in this room to do that to a human being? To make ruku' to a human being? To make ruku' to a car? To make ruku' to a bank account? To make ruku' to a laptop? Hada mustahil, impossible. Because of the shame of the position. Malcolm X, rahimahullah ta'ala, Malcolm X, he said, the most difficult thing for me to do was salah. To put myself in these positions in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of my background in my life and my experiences and the arrogance that I had in my heart. The ulama said one thing about ruku' and we'll move on. They said, if somebody makes ruku' khashi'an lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, with this khushu' to Allah Azza wa Jal, it means that they have recognized the ahad, the agreement that they have between them and Allah is what? To obey Him. Al-ta'a lillah. They said, thus if the ruku' is done for the sake of Allah alone, with this khushu' to Allah Azza wa Jal, if it was really done for Allah, after that, they will not go back to Allah's disobedience. Because they bowed in front of Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, when you bow in someone in front of somebody, in traditional warfare, it's a sign that you give up. In qiyad, submission. When you bow to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a sign that I'm giving up my nafs. Luck to you. My prayer, my sacrifice, my living, my dying is for you. And I'm going to leave my desires and make this ruku to you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after I bow to you, sincerely for you, I'll never be able to bow to anything else except you. Thus they said, the sign of the sincere ruku to Allah Azza wa Jal is the effect afterwards. How many of us have ever thought about ruku like this? When I was reading that, I said, subhanAllah, I didn't pray ruku' since I became Muslim. The next is the sujood. And we said, we're not talking about every single aspect of salah. A sujood. But sujood is different than any other aspect of salah. Why? It's the only act in salah that in the rak'ah is done how many times? Twice. Nothing else is done twice. Ruku once, Qiyam once, Al-Fatiha once. But the sujood marratain. And all of us know, I'm sure, alhamdulillah, the method of sujood. Al-Sheikh Ali Jum'a, he taught us, a sujood, there are two types of sujood. There is the sujood, which everybody does.
There is the sujood of the heart.
Everybody does this. Everybody makes sujood with their limbs. But he said the other type of sujood
is the sujood of the qalb.
And the ulama said, whoever made sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kama amarahu, as Allah ordered him or her to make sujood, if that sujood is the sujood of the qalb, the sujood of the heart, then that person will never make sujood to anything else until they die. Because that heart tasted al-ubudiyya lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. It tasted the slavery to Allah, the love to be the slave of Allah. That's why Ibrahim al-Adham rahimahullah ta'ala used to say, if the kings knew the feeling that we have in our hearts, and Ibrahim al-Adham was a zahid, and he used to wear simple clothes and eat simple food. And he used to say, if the kings knew the feeling that we had in our hearts, they will wage jihad on us to take the feeling from our hearts and put in their castles. So the heart that has made sujood to Allah Azza wa Jal has some signs. Number one, this person will never bow in the face of tyranny. The proof of this, وَأُلْقِيَ السَّحَرَةُ سَاجِدِينَ قَالُوا آمَنَّا بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ رَبِّ مُوسَى وَهَارُونَ Surah Al-A'raf. When those magicians became mu'mineen, they were ordered to worship Fir'aun. وَأُلْقِيَ السَّحَرَةُ سَاجِدِينَ قَالُوا آمَنَّا بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ They fell into sujood after they believed, but sujood to who? لِلَّه To Allah. How can I apply this now if I'm on campus and there's some fitna on the campus and it's pulling at my heart and I know it's wrong? Am I going to make sujood to this or to Allah? Not the sujood like this. Now we're talking about sujood, sujood al-qalb. If I'm at work and I have the opportunity to do some shady insider trading on the madhhab of Ummuna Martha Stewart, yani. Skalan hadaha. Am I gonna do it? Or is my heart sajid lillah or sajid li ma'asi? And this sujood is important. If in a family gathering I go there, for example, I'm the only one with hijab. And the people in the family start to say, ooh, she's fundamentalist, she's crazy, she's this, she's that. You make sujood to them or sujood to Allah? The brother. Maybe somebody comes to him and says, Akhi, tell your wife not to wear hijab. We're in a post-9/11 era, Akhi. Sujood to him or sujood to Allah? And this is the sujood of the qalb, not the sujood of the body. The sujood of the body, if it has this khushu' to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a sign of the khushu' of the qalb. But if the body in sujood, I mean, it's crazy sometimes you pray next to a brother in sujood and you hear him, Akhi. You're making sujood to Allah, akhi. Who are you standing in front of, akhi? Who is your head on the ground of in front of, akhi? In front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're yawning. But if we can control it, we should. Remember, I'm in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the people stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and prostrate in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the pregnant woman will lose her baby. That the baby will, his hair will become gray. And here I am now, I'm in front of Allah azza wa jal. And I'm yawning, I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking about that. My mind is here, my mind is there. Because the qalb is not sajidillah. The heart did not make sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's interesting, when you go down in sujood, your heart goes down in sujood. When you rise from sujood, the qalb rises with you. So the ulama said, sujood al-qalb. How to have this sujood al-qalb? Number one, ma'rifatullah. To know Allah Azza wa Jal. How can we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We can know His power. Read in the Quran. وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِدُرٍّ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُوَ وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِي وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if any hardship touches you, none can remove it but Allah.
And if any good comes to you, then know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has control of all things. Your health is in the hands of Allah. Your mind is in the hands of Allah. Your life is in the hands of Allah. Your money in the hands of Allah. Your happiness in the hands of Allah. Your eyes in the hands of Allah. Your ears, your tongue, everything in the hands of Allah. If I know Him, I'm going to worship Him. If I don't know Him, I'm going to be negligent in my worship. That's why the ulama said, the lack of ilm leads to a lack of khushu'. The one whose ilm is khashi' lillah, the one when the verses of Quran recited to them, and when the remembrance of Allah is mentioned, their hearts shake. And when the verses of Quran are mentioned, زَادَهُمْ إِمَانًا. The iman is increased. So if I hear the Quran, I understand the Quran, if I make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those aren't the effects, that means there's a problem with the dhikr, with the Quran, with the salah. No, the problem is with me. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Mudathir, he talked about عليها تسعة عشر. وَمَا جَعَلْنَا أَصْحَابَ النَّارِ إِلَّا مَلَائِكَةً وَمَا جَعَلْنَا إِدَّتَهُمْ إِلَّا فِتْنَةً لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the angels are 19 in Jahannam, and we talked about it before. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this number of angels is what? Fitna to who? To the one who rejects Allah. It's a trial for the one who rejects Allah. But for the one who believes, لِيَزْدَادَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِيمَانًا. Here's one person, they have a good heart with Allah. Here's one who doesn't. The one who has a good heart with Allah, when he hears there's 19 angels in the hellfire, his faith increases. But the one that has problems in the khushu', in the ilm, when they hear that there's 19 angels in the hellfire to punish, what did Allah say? It became fitna to them. So the same verse of Quran, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you two different personalities who react differently to this verse because of the condition of the qalb. He reiterates, your reaction to al-wahi is the most important identification marker of the condition of your heart. Leave all of the strange stories, leave all of the strange acts, leave all of the strange wazifas that people give us. How do you interact with the Quran? That's it. How did the believers react with the Quran? قالوا سمعنا وطعنا. We hear, we obey. So our reaction to al-wahi and our reaction to our ibadat, like sujood, is the condition of the heart. Because the seed of this khushu' with Allah Azza wa Jal is the heart. In sujood also it's important that we do something. أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدْ. Rasulullah والسلام, said that the closest that the slave can be to Allah is in sujood. So in sujood, we should increase dua. And the month of Ramadan is coming. Month of Ramadan, Shahr al-Sujood, is the month of sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some other things you can do to keep your salah alive. Number one, learn different dua. For example, al-istiftah. Al-istiftah, we mentioned one dua from al-istiftah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك وتبارك اسمك وتعالى جدك ولا إله غيرك. But there are many du'a of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم for al-istiftah. Switch. Learn a new one. And when you learn it, look at the translation and understand the words in Arabic, what the words mean. So when you say it, سبحانك اللهم, you can understand what you say. Learn different adhkar for the ruku', for the sujood, and so on. Number two, try to pray in jama'ah. The jama'ah, I found in my own personal life that it's easier to concentrate in salah in jama'ah. Wa yadullahi fawqa aydihim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the jama'ah. Number three, think about your death. Remember where you're going. Don't be negligent of the death. Ya'lamuna zahiran fil hayati dunya wa hum 'anil akhirati hum ghafilun. Let's give some examples of khushu' in the life of a salaf al-salih. Once in Cairo, a long, long time ago, in the days of the Salihin. There are still Salihin also, but a lot of Salihin. There was a daughter of a man, and he was a sheikh. And they lived maybe on the fifth floor of an apartment complex. And one day she came to her father and she said, you know, Dad, there used to be a pole on top of the other building, and I used to see it all the time. She said, today, The pole is gone. He said, yeah, the sheikh, he died. He used to pray all the time. To the extent that she never knew it was a man. She thought it was a pole. He said, yeah, the sheikh, he passed away. Muslim ibn Yasir. He was one of the famous people of Zuhd. And one day he was praying in the masjid. And the wall of the masjid fell down. And the people became scared. They thought that the masjid fell down. And he kept praying. And the people became scared. They thought that the rest of the masjid will fall on him. And subhanAllah, after his salah, the people said, run, run from the masjid, run from the masjid. And he said to them, what happened? I don't know what happened. I didn't hear anything. He was gone in his salah. Something happened. Oh, the wall fell down, subhanAllah. Somebody says, I can't believe that. I can't believe that that happens. Okay, akhi, your wife is talking to you. 10 minutes later, she says, what did I say? And she's talking right to you. And you can turn to your wife and say, then you know we try to we try to get out of it. As was mentioned yesterday. Why you have khushu in something else, akhi? It's khushu. Or I can khushu in something else. Sometime we're driving in our car and we start daydreaming. Or even I know some people when I was in my university days, they used to study in the car on the way to their final exams. Then subhanAllah, suddenly the brother will turn and say, how far have we driven, akhi? Wallah, he's the one driving. And he doesn't even know that he's been driving. Khushu. I forgot. I was driving. Yeah, akhi, you're driving, akhi. Keep driving. So these are practical examples we see in our own life. But the thing is, we turn ourselves on and off. So in salah, we have to turn this khushu onto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know about some of the sahaba, the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, they would be in salah and they would be shot by arrows and they wouldn't feel it. We know Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he was injured and some people told him, we have to give you alcohol to deaden the injury. He said, no, just let me pray 2 rak'ah. Pray 2 rak'ah, they fixed his injury, and when he finished, he said to them, did you do it? They say, yeah, we did it. Al-khushu' to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people would hear him in the night, as Abdullah bin Mas'udi said, it sounded though a boiling pot was coming from his chest. Because he was crying, thinking about some verses. Another thing that helps you in khushu' is to take some verses. إِن تُعَذِّبَهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prayed the entire night once on this verse. The end of Surah Al-Ma'idah. Also read the tafsir. Tafsir, it helps to contextualize many times the surah that you know and to bring about some human feeling to the Quran itself and help you in Al-Khushu'. Inshallah, we finish now with Al-Khushu'. And we'll talk about 2 more things. And then inshallah, we'll try to summarize this series. But these 2 things are your capital. In fact, the ulama said these 2 things are the tijara of the sadiq lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. These 2 things are the business of the one who's going to Allah. How they use them, how they spend them, how they actualize them, then they will see their profit. And these 2 things are found in the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is a sound hadith an Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu, from Abu Huraira, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, نعمتان مغبوض فيهما كثير من الناس. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, 2 blessings which most people lost out on. مغبوض. الصحة والفراغ. Health and time. Health and time. How do we use our time? How do we use our health? Time and health. How do you use your time? How do you organize your time? Directly affects your health. Because the health biyadi Allah. Today, subhanAllah, I was in a person's house. And after we left, they called and told us that there was a small baby there. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give her shifa, who went unconscious. 7 months old. Then they said, we found blood in the diaper. Rushed her to the ICU. Al-siha biyadi Allah. The first reaction of everybody when they heard that this baby got sick was what? She's only what? 7 months old. أخي الصحة بيد الله. Health is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how can you organize your time? Inshallah, in Ramadan, our brothers from Mass, they will distribute free what's called muhasibah sheet. Muhasibah means to audit yourself.
عمر used to say حاسبوا أنفسكم قبل أن تحاسبوهم. عمر used to say account yourself before you're accounted by Allah. And what the sheet has is, for example, your salah, your siyam, your dhikr, your daily Quran. Did you do some good? Did you give sadaqah? Did you help the old man or woman across the street? Whatever. But at the end of the day, you account yourself. Why is it good to account yourself at the end of the day? To prepare you for the accounting with Allah. Nobody likes to be accounted. Nobody likes when they come home and their wife says, where you been? I was at the masjid. What masjid? The big masjid. Where's that masjid? In America. Where in America? In California. What's it? Or vice versa. Where you been? I was with sisters. Or young children or young adults when you come home from college. What you doing? What did you do? Did you spend the ATM? This, that, this. Nobody likes it. Nobody. But the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man yuhibbu liqa Allah." Whoever loves the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yuhibbu Allahu liqa'a. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to meet them. So you take, for example, a muhasaba sheet. You can even use Excel. And you account yourself. How many salah did I pray today with khushu'? Did I have khushu' in this salah? Did this? And actually this is in Islam. Because the first thing you say after salah is what? Alhamdulillah salaytu. What's the first thing? As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Then what do you say? Astaghfirullah. The muhasaba. You account yourself for what? Any mistakes I made in salah. After 23 years of da'wah and struggle, what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what was he ordered to say about Allah? فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَشْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ. Why? Muhasib. So to account yourself. قَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. What you send in front of yourself, you better make an account of it. And if we do this, this looking into ourselves, it will immediately cause us to organize our time. How many of us, our day is scheduled around what? When we're going to check our email. Or when my friend is going to be online. Actually, for a Muslim, the day should be organized around a salah. My day and my night around salah. And if I organize my day and my time around salah, then I actualize the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا خَلَقُتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I did not create you except to worship me. 5 times a day. The ulama said, "Inna dunya mazra'a." And this last example might help you understand how to use your time and your health. If you have a garden and you don't take care of your garden, when the season comes to produce fruit, don't get mad, you don't have anything. Don't bring some nasty onion to your husband and say, "You know, I'm sorry, I don't know. I don't know what happened. You didn't do anything the whole season." Or vice versa. You bring something to your wife, "I'm sorry, you know, this year the achar is not going to happen because I didn't take care of the lemons." Blame yourself, akhi. The ulama said, "Inna dunya mazra'a." This dunya is your garden, your farm. And how you cultivate it is what you're going to find with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every time you say subhanallah, there's a tree planted here for you in Jannah. The Sahih Hadith said, the shade of this tree, 100 years for a traveler to go from this side to that side. I was with a brother one day who was cussing. Foul, foul, foul. I told him, "Akhi, why do you replace it with subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah? At least you get some trees in Jannah. This, you're just making your heart black. You're killing yourself. Alhamdulillahi tamla'u al-mizan. Wa subhanallah walhamdulillahi tamla'i ma bayna al-sama'i wal-ard. Prophet said that alhamdulillah will fill the scales. Wa subhanallah walhamdulillah will fill everything in the heavens and the earth with the ajr for the one yadhkurullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the ulama said, "Inna dunya mazra'a." And in this farm, there is some business. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Hal adullukum ala tijara tunjikum min adhabin aleem. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, hal adullukum ala tijaratin tunjikum min adhabin aleem. O you who believe, shall I not guide you to a business that will save you from a grievous punishment?" The ulama said, when the person organizes their time and they worship Allah in the time of their health, then these are the people who engaged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and this tijara, and these are the people that Allah said, "Inna Allah ashtara min al-mu'minina." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah At-Tawbah that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has purchased the souls of who? The souls of the people of faith. And what's the contract? بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ
Because since they gave their souls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in their life, remembering Allah, being good people, being good citizens, being productive, learning how to park correctly might be an important step in that. Because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the reward of this purchase is what? Jannah. And that breaks us to the next point. What is it all for? Why are we doing this? Some people made a mistake and said that we don't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Jannah. It's not correct. In the Quran itself, Al-Anbiya, the Prophet said, Ya Allah, we worship you, we hope for Jannah. Somebody that says, I worship Allah and I don't want Jannah, they need to check their understanding of Al-Jannah. Al-Jannah has some meanings. Number one, Jannah wal-Jinn. Jannah has the same jidr. Jannah means something hidden. That's why Al-Jinn is hidden. Wal-Jannah, hidden. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there are angels, in this hadith is sahih, who go around and find the majalis of dhikr. And this is majalis of dhikr, alhamdulillah. Wal-Halaqatul Ilm, to attend the study circle. What do you talk about? You talk about Dr. Phil's plan for reform? No, you talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messenger, the dhikr. Wal-Qur'an, wal-Sunnah, wal-Deen, wal-Fiqh. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that angels, they go around the world and they find the halaqah of dhikr. Another narration said that they pile above this halaqah to the heavens. So now, alhamdulillah, malaika here and pile into the heavens. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they go back to Allah, He asked him, where did you come from? Wa huwa a'lam, but He knows. And they say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we found ibadan lak yusabbihunaka. Saying subhanallah. So now everybody say subhanallah. Wa yukabbirunak. And they say Allahu Akbar. Say Allahu Akbar. Wa yuhallilunak. And they say la ilaha illallah. Wa yahbanunak. And they praise you. Say alhamdulillah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what they ask for? They say yas'aluna Jannatak. They ask for your Jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هَلْ رَأَوْهَا وَكَمَا قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَمْ. Did they see it? And the malaika say, no. And Allah says, what if they saw it? I love this hadith. And the angels say, they would seek refuge in you from something. And Allah says, from what? قَالُوا مِنَ النَّارِ. From the hellfire. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, are they asking for anything else? Yeah. They're seeking refuge with you from something. From what? From your fire. Did they see it? No. What if they saw it? If they saw it, يَسْتَغْفِرُونَكَ. They would seek your forgiveness. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, bear witness that I forgive them of their sins. Another narration similar to this says there's a man out like in the hallway, maybe in the restaurant, watching Jazeera. And they said also there's another guy, he's there, but he's not in the halaqah. Allah said, I forgive him too. Why? In the halaqat dhikr. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Jannah. You should ask Allah Azza wa Jal, Ya Allah, adkhilni fi jannatik. Ya Allah, put me in the Jannah. Because the hadith sahih, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they ask three times for Jannah, the Jannah talks to Allah and says, adkhilhu fil Jannah. Enter him into Jannah. Enter her into Jannah. This hadith from Imam al-Tabri, this hadith is sound, inshaAllah. And if they seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the nar, three times the nar will say, Ya Allah, ajirhu min an-nar. Oh Allah, save him or her from the hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He said about al-Jannah, وَفِي ذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. For this Jannah, let the people of competition compete. سَابِقُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. ذلك فضل الله يؤتيه من يشاء والله ذو الفضل العظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, race for the forgiveness of Allah and Jannah. How do you race for Jannah? I'm racing for Jannah. No, by this program of change that we're going to talk about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا. Some people said, I can't practice Islam in America. He take this verse of Quran. فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا. Race in doing the good wherever you are. Whether in Asia, America, Europa, Saudi, Egypt, wherever you are. فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا. So we'll talk a little bit about Al-Jannah, just to motivate ourselves, inshaAllah ta'ala. And then inshaAllah we'll talk about this program that we can apply in our life for this islah, inshaAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a hadith Qudsi, he said something interesting. He said, subhana, I have prepared something for my righteous slaves. SubhanAllah, if we have a brother and we know his wife is a good cook, or sisters also, let's be politically correct. If we know a sister and her husband is a good cook, don't get mad. Should cook for your wife, alhamdulillah. Just don't kill her with your food. But if we know that somebody prepared the food, a good food, we say, alhamdulillah, man, I'm excited to eat this food. Why? It's been prepared by, mashallah, Julia Child. Or if we know that, for example, the house has been prepared nicely, mashallah, I know that my wife, alhamdulillah, or I know that my husband, alhamdulillah, mashallah, they do a good job on this. They'll make buhur and everything, and it'll be nice. Now we're talking about something that was prepared by Allah, is Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I have prepared for my righteous servants which no eye has seen. That's why the ulama said, even if you close your eyes. Sometimes our kids come to us and say, yeah, Baba, can I have chocolate castle in Jannah? Say, no, it'll be better than that. Can I have this in Jannah? No, it'll be better than that. You'll have better than that. They said, if you close your eyes, anything you see from na'im, from pleasantries, know that Jannah is better than that. وَلَا أُذْنٌ سَمِعَتْ. And no ear heard it. وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشِرْ. And no heart can dream it. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He prepared. Just an example of this. The last person to enter Jannah. Musa alayhi salatu salam, he said, in a sound hadith related by Imam Muslim, Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, ما أدنى أهل الجنة منزلة. Who is the lowest person in Jannah? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered him and said, it's a man who will enter Jannah after everybody else entered the Jannah. And he will go to the Jannah and he will find his compartments full. In another hadith, the Prophet said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him, go in, go in. Every time he go in, it's filled up. Till finally he comes, Ya Allah, are you trying to joke with me and you are Malik al-Jabbar? And the Prophet ﷺ, when he used to relate his hadith, he used to smile. So he'll go into Jannah and he will find it's full. Then he will say, Ya Rabbi, how can I go in there? And everybody's there, there's no room. And they have taken what they've been given. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him, would you be pleased أن يكون لك مثل ملك ملك من ملوك الدنيا. Would you be pleased if you were given a kingdom from the kings of this dunya? He will say, Naam raditu. I'm pleased with that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, Laka hadha wa mithluhu wa mithluhu wa mithluhu wa mithluhu. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him, this is for you times four. And when he gets to the fourth time, the guy, his heart is going to explode. And he says, Raditu ya Rabbi. I'm pleased, ya Allah. It's enough. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him, and to you this times 10. That's the lowest person, inshaAllah ta'ala, to go into Al-Jannah. Alhamdulillah, Musa, this time he had sabr, not like with Khidr. This time he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala another question. The same hadith, he said, oh my Lord, فَأَعْلَمَهُمْ مَنْزِلَةً. Who will be the one who's in the highest level of Jannah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to him and he said, they are those who from my will I prepared the honor for them with my own hands. That's why the ulama said, Jannat al-Firdaus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Jannat al-Firdaus with his own hands. And some ulama said, he makes it every day. And I sealed it for them. And there will be things which no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no heart can dream of. Now we'll talk about the program for change. Where do I start? And this islah al-nufus. A practical program is found in the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hadith sahih. And tell me when it's Aisha. Aisha thumma Aisha. Ba'd al-darsi. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith sahih related by Bukhari and Muslim, found in the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi, the hadith where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever declares war against my wali, فَقَدْ آذَنْتُهُ بِهِ الْحَرْبِ. Yani, what's a wali? We find in the ummah two extremes. Those people who said there is no wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand, we find those people who say, I'm a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I remember one time I was in a masjid in a southeastern Asian Muslim country, so our Egyptian brothers will not be in trouble. And I left the masjid and a guy came to me and said, where are you from? I said, I'm from America. He said, I knew it. Of course, akhi, we're in Southeast Asia. I'm 6'5", 300 pounds, blonde hair, blue eyes. I don't think I'm from Kuala Lumpur, ya Sheikh. Oops. Maybe not. So this brother, he tells me, guess what? I said, what? He said, I'm wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have some union card, Sheikh, something. You're a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He told me, because my grandfather was wali. Actually, his grandfather, mashallah, inshallah, wa kana min awliya ilah. So I told him, okay, alhamdulillah. He said, you should come and be my student. Be my murid. I told him, mashallah, jazallah khairan. I said, can I ask you a question? You know it's coming. He said, of course. I said, can you read Al-Fatiha without any mistakes? He said, no. I said, how are you a wali of Allah, akhi? How are you going to lead anyone? The Qur'an have to lead you first. This is the extreme. But Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, we believe in the awliya of Allah. Why? Because Allah said, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَا اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Surah Yunus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, indeed, the awliya of Allah azza wa jal, they have no fear and no grief. Allah waliyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. But what is a wali? First of all, the ulama said, Allah azza wa jalla said, Allah waliyu alladhina amanu. Allah is the friend of those who believe. So they said, anybody who yashhad annahu la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadar Rasulullah huwa min awliya ilah. Whoever bared witness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and believed in Allah, then they are the awliya of Allah. But we believe that the awliya have levels. And this is not the time to talk about this. If you read Majmu' Fatawa of Ibn Taymiyyah, he talked about this in great detail, as well as Imam Ghazali. But the problem is, sometimes we got lost in the secret. You know, I remember one time I was in a country and they told me, this man, he made hajj in dhur today in this masjid, but he made hajj in the night. The jinn flew him across the country to Mecca. I told him, akhi, I don't care, akhi. What I care is I need to save my money and make my hajj. That's the reality of it. That's good, alhamdulillah. If it happened, alhamdulillah. Yani, alhamdulillah. Because karamatu awliya is min ahli sunnah wal jama'ah. But we don't focus on it so much that it leaves us away from the important factors, the important things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, man aada li waliyan, whoever opposes one of my wali. And also a quick point in Surah Al-Ma'idah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَا تَتَّخِذُوا يَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَ أَوْلِيَا بَعْضُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضُ. Don't take the Jews and Christians as awliya. This has been mistranslated as friends. Here, awliya doesn't mean friends. Here, awliya means protectors in a time of war. Like what happened in Al-Andalus. We hired these people to kill Muslims? No. We've been forbidden to do that. مَنْ عَادَ لِي وَلِيًا فَقَدْ أَذَنْتُ بِالْحَرْبِ. Whoever opposes one of my wali, then I declare war with him. What does it mean when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he declares war with someone? If we say, for example, there's going to be a war between country X and country B, it means that what? That the outcome of the war is what? Nobody knows. Maybe this country will win, maybe this country will win. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَقَدْ أَذَنْتُ بِالْحَرْبِ, I declare a war with him, it means that person is destroyed there. That's it. There's gonna be no struggle.
It's over.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, my servant will not come closer to me with anything I love more than the fara'id, the obligatory actions.
This is the first step to Allah, to establish the farz, or fard, or the obligatory.
Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that my servant will not come closer to me with anything. And he said, yataqarraba. In the Arabic language, again, the verb that he used, why did he use it? يَتَقَرَّبَ إِلَيْهِ Because it means that the person, as Ibn Hajar, he said, seeks to be close to Allah. هَذَا تَاتَا طَلَبِيَّ It means that the person doesn't say, I want to be close to Allah. Okay. You can't wait for my next movie to come on. Make some popcorn. The person who wants to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes effort. يَتَقَرَّبَ إِلَيْهِ They seek to come close to me. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after the fara'id are established, and the ulama said, whoever was busy with the nawafil, the extra acts, and it kept him from the fara'id, is destroyed. And whoever was busy with the fara'id, and it kept him from the nawafil, is ma'zoor. Wa ma'joor. Is excused and rewarded. So here's the first step in our looking into ourselves, the obligatory. Is it established? Then after it's established, to make ihsan in that. Because the ulama said, the steps to this qurba with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are number one, faith, number two, ibadah, and number three, ihsan. Number one, faith. Number two, worship. Number three, to perfect the worship. تَعْبُرُ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى Worship Him as though you see Him. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said something beautiful. He said, and my slave will continue to draw closer to me with nawafil, with the sunan, until I love him or her. And this is a beautiful hadith. Maybe somebody asks, why we have nawafil? How come I just can pray Isha for rak'ah, go home, Fajr to rak'ah, go home, Dhuhr for rak'ah, go home, Asr for rak'ah, go home, Maghrib 3 rak'ah and go home? Why? Because the fara'id means what? If you don't do it, you are eligible for the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's fara'id. It's wajib. It's an order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iqim as-salah. But the nawafil is your choice. So there's a difference between the slave who does something because he or she's been ordered to do it, and the slave who does something because she or he loves their master. And the one who performs the nawafil is the one who loves their master. I'm doing it because I love you. And that love of Allah brings the love of Allah to the person. And this is the relationship with Allah in the Quran. فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرُكُمْ Remember me, I remember you. إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرُكُمْ أَوْفُوا بِعَهْدِي أُوْفِي بِعَهْدِكُمْ Help Allah's deen, Allah will help you. Fulfill your covenant with Allah, Allah will fulfill His covenant with you. Love Allah, Allah will love you. So the fara'id are the opening to this relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unfortunately, sometimes we see people placing a greater emphasis on the nawafil than the fara'id. For example, fasting in the middle of the month of Sha'ban. I'm not going to go there. There is a difference of the ulama on this night of Sha'ban and fasting on the middle of Sha'ban. But subhanAllah, I remember sometimes when I was in college, in the middle of the month of Sha'ban, a brother would come to the masjid and pray all night long. And I never saw the brother before in my life. And then a brother tells me, Akhi, if I pray this night in Nawafil, I will not have to pray the obligatory prayers for the rest of the year. I tell him, Subhanallah, Akhi, what madhab you following? Yeah. And this is a misunderstanding, and that's why we begin our discussion talking about the importance of understanding. That Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he did not like for somebody to fast the Nawafil if they had not established the fara'id. It's like somebody comes to an acreage and put shingles on the ground. And you ask them, why? Why are you putting shingles on the ground? They say, I want to build the roof. Okay, there's no house. So the example of someone who establishes the nawafil without the fara'id is like this. Somebody has a steering wheel and they walk around holding their steering wheel like this. Without the tires and without the car is the example of the one who established a nawafil bidun fara'id. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and my servant continues to come close to me. And again, he used the verb yataqarrab. Yani that my servant will continue to come close to me meaning effort. This ta ta talabiyya, make an effort to come close to me. وَبَتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةِ. Seek an effort to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by establishing the nawafil until I love that person. The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is one of the main things that cause people to sin? They seek the love of something else. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. But the people of belief, they love Allah more than anything else. The love is from Iman. What does it mean when we say the love of Allah? We go to another hadith, which is a sound hadith. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam said, إِذَا حَبَّ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى الْعَبْدِ نَادَى جِبْرِيلِ فَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ فُلَانَ فَأُحِبُّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a servant, he calls Jibreel and he says, indeed Allah loves such and such person, so love this person. And this is an order. Allah Azza wa Jal is ordering Jibreel to love this person. Then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, Jibreel, he calls in the heavens, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ فُلَان فَأُحِبُّهُ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves such and such man, such and such woman, Fatima, Muhammad, Abdullah, Ruqayya, Aisha, Wasim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Atif. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves Sajid. And this is announced in the heavens. Ali ibn Abi Talib, if you want to know about how big are the heavens, Sab'a Samawat. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu said, if you want to know how big are the seven heavens, he said the seven heavens are like this, a ring in a desert is the first heaven compared to the second heaven. A ring in a desert is the second compared to the third. A ring in a desert is the third to the fourth. A ring in a desert, the fourth to the fifth. A ring in a desert, the fifth to the sixth. A ring in a desert, the sixth to the seventh. And all sab'a samawat are like a ring on the arsh of Allah. So Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he calls the malaika and the sab'a samawat, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يُحِبُّ فُلَانَ فَيُحِبُّونَهُ فَيُحِبُّوهُ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this person, so all of you must love them. Sab'a samawat, seven heavens. We go to another authentic hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there's not a space in the heavens of this distance, except there's an angel. So how many angels love this person? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one time one of his companions, he was making wudu, and the Prophet began to laugh at him. He said, Ya Rasulullah, why are you laughing at me? He said, I'm laughing because the drop fell from your beard. How many angels ran to write it down this ajr for you? Another sound hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, he was praying salah. He said, Sami'a Allahu liman hamida. One of the companions said, Hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi. After the salah, the Prophet ﷺ said, who said it? And the guy was scared, man. What did he do wrong? Prophet ﷺ said, who said it? He said, I said it, Ya Rasulullah. He said, I was amazed at how many malaika ran to write the hasanat for you. So how many malaika, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this abd of Allah, all of the malaika love them. Subhanallah, if you're on campus, is the love of a girl who can get you into trouble more than this? Is the love that makes us listen to bad CDs worth more than this? Or look at DVDs or waste our time, lie, backbite, because love, asasul ithm, is al muhabba aw al hubb. That's why I say al hubb al a'ma. Love is blind. Then the Prophet said, thumma yad'u lahu qabulu fil ard. That this love is so intense now that it goes from Allah to Jibreel to the malaika, that everyone in the creation will love this person. Wa rafa'na laka dhikrak. So that's the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you make this islah on yourself to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only do you get, as Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned that Imam Ghazali, happiness in the hereafter, but you get happiness in this life. لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُوا فِي الْآخِرَةِ. And we'll stop now and make one last point. Because for every one of us, islah is an individual affair. Not all of us are on the same level. Maybe, for example, somebody's half of the Qur'an, his islah is to review his Qur'an. Maybe somebody, they didn't learn how to read Qur'an correctly, so his islah is to learn the Qur'an correctly, to read the Qur'an correctly. Maybe somebody can read the Qur'an correctly, so the islah on him is to memorize some Qur'an. Maybe I established the five prayers, so the islah on me now is tahassun, yani, to improve my five prayers. Maybe I have good akhlaq, so my islah is to improve this akhlaq. Maybe I have knowledge, so now the islah, once I have knowledge, is to what? To teach it. So Islah is particular to every one of us. Don't feel that when you hear these stories tonight, man, I'm not at this level. The fly flies in front of me and I lose my khushu. This guy, the wall of the masjid dropped, he didn't lose his khushu. Of course, this is special people. Yeah. But if we go to the Quran, we find something unique about the word Islah. فَمَنْ تَابَ مِنْ بَعْدَ ظُلْمِهِ وَأَصْلَحَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned صَلَحَ is the فِعْلُ يعني الماضي الثلاثي المجرد. And it's لازم. The verb for صَلَحَ, to reform, is a verb that doesn't need an object. But sometimes we add to a verb what's called حَمْزَةُ التَّعْدِيَّةِ to make the verb utilize an object. For example, I can say جَلَسَ صُهَيْبُ. خلاص جَلَسَ زَيْدٌ يعني. هذا معروف. In the Nuha, Zayd sat down. You don't need an object. But if I say, Ajlasa Zaydun Ibnahu, Zayd made his son sit. Same with Salaha. But if I say, Aslaha. Now, Aslaha, it needs an object. But in the Quran, pay attention. I know maybe you're saying it's hard, but pay attention. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَمَنْ تَابَ مِنْ بَعْدِ ظُلْمِهِ وَأَصْلَحَ إِشْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, whoever repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after the wrong he's done by sinning, وَأَصْلَحَ, and reforms, and the object is hidden. And usually in the Quran, when Allah uses أَصْلَحَ, reforms, the object is hidden when he talks about people. Why? Because everybody's islah pertains to them. Therefore, the object is hidden. So when you read the Quran, you put your own mistake in the sentence and you and the Quran develop a one-on-one relationship. And that's the powerful nature of the Quran. فَمَنْ تَابَ مِنْ بَعْدِ ظُلْمِهِ وَأَصْلَحَ ذُنُوبَهُ أَوْ أَصْلَحَ قُلُوبَهُ أَوْ أَصْلَحَ أُمُورَهُ أَوْ أَصْلَحَ يعني فِتْنَتَهُ أَوْ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ. Any object can be put there. Why? Because the relationship of Islah is not just for the imams or the righteous or the ulama, but for every Muslim, from the janitor to the king. So we stop here inshallah ta'ala on this humble short expedition to the world of Islah. Just to remind you of some important points. Number one, we said Islah, to reform. Islah al-Nufus is not a goal in itself, but is a means and a goal for other forms of Islah, like political Islah, economic Islah. Now in this country, we can say definitely political islah with our brother Tariq Ramadan. This islah, we need to stand up and defend his right to free speech to be in this country. This Saturday with CARE, we need to stand up and make islah, not just for the Muslims, but for the benefit of this country itself. The people are suffering, and the Muslim job to benefit the people. And also we talked about our relationship to ad-dunya, that we are to own the dunya, not to be owned by ad-dunya. And that means that we shouldn't leave the dunya, but we should utilize the dunya. Then we talked about some steps to islah, some important points to islah. Number one, iman billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, faith in Allah azza wa jalla. We gave some examples from Quran. And we said that the best place to take aqidah from is where? Al-Quran. As the sahaba took it from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And then we mentioned some aspects of islah that we should focus on. For example, as-salah, al-khushu' in salah. At-tawbah, repenting back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thinking about the hereafter and letting the hereafter affect my life. Then today we finished talking about this khushu' and also two important things that we use in our transaction with Allah, our time and our health. And then we mentioned the program that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam through this hadith Qudsi gave us to establish the fara'id, then to move to the nawafil, and then inshallah we become from those people who Allah loves. Wa salli lahum ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.